in Joshua 6, verse 22. We haven't gotten there yet, but we will probably get there next week as we're reading about the conquering of Jericho, and the walls are going to come a-tumbling down. But if you remember, the spies were sent into the land before the Jews crossed over the Jordan, and they went and stayed at Rahab's house, which was actually, interestingly enough, inside of the wall. Remember? They were lowered down the side of the walls of Jericho, kind of out of her house. So she kind of lived in the wall. I don't know how high up, but that's kind of nuts, first off, that she lived in the wall. But so here's this gal, Rahab, in a very sinful place, living a very sinful lifestyle. But because of how she helped those spies, remember, the spies promised her, and I believe the Lord promised her, we'll save you. Because of how you've helped out God's people, I'm going to save you from the destruction that's coming to this entire nation of Jericho. And so in verse 22, we'll read there that it says, but Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. And so the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out of her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. So this isn't the last in the Bible that we read of this gal Rahab. Ahab's not a gal, it's a dude, and it's a totally different person. Rahab was a harlot, was a sinner, but we read here that she's saved. The Lord kind of plucks her out of the destruction of Jericho. And seemingly just because of what she did to help the spies. But we know more. We know that there was more going on inside of Rahab's heart. And how do we know that? Hebrews chapter 11. Flip there real quick. This is mind-blowing when you think about it, because Hebrews 11, of course, is called the Hall of Faith. And that's where we have this list of 17, which, if you think about all of the people that lived between the creation of the universe and when the author of Hebrews penned Hebrews 11, the Lord picked out 17 people who had lived through that time. Hundreds of years. Picked out 17 specific people and said, these are people who are an example, a really great example of faith. Those who had great faith in the Lord. 17 people over hundreds of year period as time had gone before Hebrews 11 was penned. So that being said, in the Lord's eyes, these guys are pretty important. And of those 17, only two of them are women. That's not uncommon in the Bible. You just don't read a lot of specific names of gals. Now, we do know that women were a huge part of the early church. They were integral in lots of Old Testament stories. We read about them. But they're not in there as much as the guys, necessarily. So to be one of the two women in the Hall of Faith through all of the years that the earth has been in existence, the two women who had tons of faith, we know that for sure because God said so, that's a big deal. And what's insane is Rahab the harlot is one of them. Rahab the harlot in Jericho made the Hall of Faith. That's crazy, to me anyway. But let's check it out real quick. It's in Hebrews 11, verse 31. By faith, actually, let's read verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days, which we're going to read next week, Lord willing. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. So by faith, she didn't perish when with those who didn't believe. What's the idea there? Well, it's not just that the fact that Rahab the harlot helped the dudes out, that she hid them from the men who were trying to kill them, and then kind of let them go down the wall. That is not the main reason that God saved Rahab, I would argue, and I'll bet you the author of Hebrews would argue, that it was actually because of something that was changing within Rahab. Rahab was, I believe, a believer in God. And whether, we don't know exactly to what extent she was walking with the Lord, if you will, when she met the spies. We don't know for sure. I've heard people talk about she was growing, what did she have on the roof there? What's that plant name again? The flax seed. Do you remember in Proverbs 31, especially you gals, it talks specifically about the Proverbs 31 woman growing and selling flax. It's part of that whole deal. And that's kind of interesting. I've heard pastors and Bible teachers talk about how that could actually indicate that she was striving to be a Proverbs 31 woman, that she had forsaken her former occupancy, if you will, because she was actually growing flax. It was on her roof, which means she was probably growing and selling it, which indicates that she was doing something other than just being a harlot. Maybe. I don't know for sure. But at whatever point Rahab was saved, I believe that she was. That she was a believer in the true and living God. That she was, you could go as far as to say, a believer in Jesus. She believed in a coming Messiah. And she believed in the true and living God. We know that because of the faith that's spoken about in Hebrews 11. Crucial, important. But one other reason. Flip back to Joshua 2. Maybe you have your finger there, hopefully. So go back a few chapters from where we were. And we'll go back to when the spies were there with her. I want to point out one thing that she said. Because this may be a great indication of what's going on inside her heart. Joshua 2, verse 9. How about 8? Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. For you Bible students, Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It seems right here that Rahab the harlot did this. She heard of God. She heard the word of the Lord, what he did 40 years previous, when he saved the Israelites, when he defeated all those enemies that they had, by destroying them in the Red Sea, parting 40 years before. Rahab heard that, and from that, she believed and professed right here that your God is the true God in heaven. He's the one. He's the true and living God, the only one. I believe that Rahab, as sinful as she was, as horrible as her occupancy was, she was one who believed in the Lord and was therefore saved from the destruction that was inevitably coming to her and all of her people. And that leads me to the point being, we are Rahab. We were lost. We were stuck in our sin. We were stuck in the world and the things of the world. And it's interesting to talk with a person who has yet to come out of a sinful lifestyle, because oftentimes it seems daunting. It feels like you cannot get out. It's like you have no other way to go. You have no other thing to do. It's like you can't see yourself making it, doing anything but what you've been doing. But the Lord has a way of bringing people out of that. The Lord has a way of making a person new. He has a way of starting fresh and allowing a person to completely just separate themselves from everything that they used to be and bring them forward into a working relationship and spiritual life, abundant life with him. And that's what I pray that we all have. And Becca and I pray for all of you often, and we want you guys to be doing that, to be experiencing that new life in Christ. And I just wanted to remind you and remind myself tonight that whatever our Rahab position was, whatever thing we have found ourselves in, and I know that we all have different stories. I don't know of anyone here that was previously a murderer or anything like that, but I know that some of us have come from maybe we could say more sinful lifestyles than others, but it doesn't matter, because we're told in Romans that all have fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We were all headed for destruction. And without Christ, I'll bet we would all end up in a very terrible place, just like Rahab likely found herself at whatever point. But God wants to make all things new. And the Lord doesn't see all of those sins that Rahab committed before she heard the word of the Lord and believed in God. But instead, she was, I believe, a new creation in God, just as we are. And so I'm encouraged to hear about Rahab and then to see her in Hebrews 11, because that's crazy. I mean, I could never even hope to be in Hebrews 11. And here's Rahab the harlot from Jericho. She makes it. That's really cool. And it gives me hope and encourages me that it doesn't matter where I've been. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, what you've said. What matters is what's next. That Jesus Christ died for us, that he wants to make us a new creation in him. And that's all that matters. I get to talk to couples, some married, some not, from time to time. And one of the greatest encouragements that I can give a couple who is struggling in an area is that the Lord has forgotten. The Lord has put those things in your past as far as the east is from the west. And we forget that as people, and especially as couples. We like to, not purposefully, but those things tend to come back up. The greatest encouragement for any person is your sin is gone. Sure, you did it, but you're the only one who remembers. If you've confessed and believe in Jesus, God doesn't even remember. That's amazing when you think about it. Father, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. And I know that a lot of us here do feel like Rahab the harlot from time to time, Lord. We think about our past and where we've been and what we've done. And it's hard to believe that you can put those things out of your mind, or that you can completely forgive them to the point where you don't even remember. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to disconnect from those burdens that have pulled us back in the past and that can even hinder our ability to be used by you now. So I pray, Lord, that if anyone's carrying unnecessary burdens from their sin or whatever else, that tonight would be the night that they just let it go. Lord, if there's an addiction here that anyone has, Lord, that they would just be set free from it by your Spirit. And I pray that they would ask for that tonight. So we give you this time, Lord, and we pray that you would be here by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.